you doing what God wants us to do, even though adversity is there? Now we come to this portion of Scripture in verse 23, where we see Paul's ready for heaven, but God still has plans for him on earth. Ready for heaven, but not time to depart. Now, how many does that sound like this morning? Ready for heaven, but you're still here. How many is still here? How many is ready for heaven? We can arrange that right now. No, just kidding. Just kidding, Brother Rich. He was looking like, what's that? Oh, you're not volunteering? But this is the thought. Ready for heaven. Ready for heaven. But God was not ready to allow him to depart because God still had something for him to do. Now we're going to look and we're going to see his heart. We're going to look at the word that was given here. He's in a strait. We're going to talk about what that means. We're going to look at all his thoughts here. But I want you to understand this morning, we need to always be ready because we don't know when the Lord is going to take us home. We need to live with that thought that it could be right now. We could leave today. And this might be the last time that you've ever walked into this building because the Lord could call you home to glory. Now let's look at this thought here. If you're able to, please stand with me. Philippians chapter 1, we read verse 23 through 30 this morning. For I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. That your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your fears that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversities, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which he saw in me, and now here to be in me. Heavenly Father, we ask that you just use your words this morning. Lord, speak to our hearts, I pray. Help us to see the truth. Help us claim the truth. Help us to apply them to our hearts and our lives. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. You may be seated. So we look at ready for heaven, but not time to depart. I want you to see Paul's dilemma. Paul's dilemma. Have you ever had a dilemma? Have you ever been in a place that there's actually two decent possibilities for something in your life, and you're not sure which one to go, and you have a preference of which one you want, but you're not sure what God would have and what God wants? Paul's in this dilemma. Paul knows that God has used him up to this point. Paul knows the impact he's had on the church at Philippi. Paul knows how God's used him, but Paul has a heart and desire to be with his Lord. Now look at this verse here. Look at verse 23. For I'm in a strait. He's in a strait. This word's to describe some interesting situations. There's several ways this word's used. It carries the idea of being pressed on every side, torn between two. It's used of a besieged city. It's used of a strait between two points. It's used of a cattle squeeze. It's used of a prisoner who is unable to go as he pleases, but is confined within the walls of his cell. And I believe this is the idea that Paul is conveying. This is where he's betwixt between. This is the strait he's in. He knows he wants to leave, but he knows God has something for him. He's in this place. He feels like he's a prisoner in the world. In his own words, his body's here, but his heart is somewhere else. How many times, you don't have to admit this, but how many times do we feel like we're a prisoner here in this world? How many of us have gotten to a place sometimes because of all the pressures, all the things that we're facing in our lives? We say, Lord, take me home today. Lord, I want my time here on this earth short. I'm tired of seeing all the things happening in this world. I'm tired of seeing all the wickedness in our politics. I'm tired of seeing all the vile things happening in this world. I'm tired of all that's taking place. Lord, take me home. See, he's in this strait. He's betwixt between two things. Because he knows that if he left this world, guess where he gets to go? It's far better. Instead of walking the streets of sin, he gets to go walk the streets of gold. Instead of having sorrow, instead of having pain, instead of having all the pressures and all the things that he's facing, he knows he gets to say bye-bye. And he'll get to be with Jesus where there is no tears, where there is no sorrow, where most importantly, he'll get to see his Jesus face to face. And what a glorious day that would be. This is his heart. This is his desire. He says, I'm twixt between two things. And I'm struggling with this. Because honestly, I would have to admit, I'd rather leave this world than be with Jesus. Now that ought to be each of our hearts. Because you know what the greatest thing our life is? It's not all the things we have here on this earth. It's one day to be able to leave this world and be with our Savior. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that day that I get to see my Savior. I'm looking forward to that day where I can worship Him. I can sing. And no one's going to complain about my singing. I'm looking forward to that day. Brother Rex, I'm so glad you're here this morning because I have an illustration for you coming up. Now, Paul says that I'm in the strait between these two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Do you know, I'm glad God is here on this earth with us. He's promised never leave us nor forsake us. But do you know heaven's far better than this earth? I tell you, as much as we love the things of this earth, what God is preparing for us, he says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And he talks about going and preparing a place for us. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again. And what he's saying is, hey, earth is okay, but heaven is far better. Now, please understand what I'm going to say. Heaven is far better because people like Brother Rex are going to have a new body. They're not going to act the same way they act now here on this earth. Heaven's going to be far better. Because guess what? I'm not going to have any of the aches and pains and things that we suffer. Heaven's going to be far better. Because we're not going to have sin in heaven. Now I want us to understand this thought. There is no sin in heaven. That's why Jesus Christ had to come and die and shed his blood to offer the way of salvation. Because he's betwixt between the two, because he knows when he dies where he's going to go. And he wants to be with his Savior. But do you know there's many people in this world? They fear death. Paul did not fear death. Paul was in a dilemma. He'd rather go to heaven because it's far better. But he was not fearing death because he knew where he would spend eternity. Do you know there's some people maybe in this room, some people watching live stream, people in our world today, they're not in a straight betwixt these two. They want to stay on this earth because you know what? They don't know where they're going to spend eternity. They're struggling. They're fearing. Hey, if I leave this, what's going to happen? Oh, they might have in their minds what they think is going to happen. They may think they just go on the ground and that's it. Done. There's nothing more. They may believe they come back as another being. Now, if that was true, Brother Rex would come back probably as a cow to torment me. But there's all these thoughts of people having these thoughts and they struggle with this thought. What's going to happen? What's going to fear? Paul did not struggle. He was in a dilemma because he'd rather be in heaven than be on this earth. But he knew where he was going. There are some that are struggling this morning because they're fearing death. Do you know we do not need to fear death? Death is not something we should fear. Because the Bible tells me, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. We have to understand this morning, you and I do not need to fear death if there's been a time in our life that we repented of our sins and turned to the Lord Jesus Christ and said, Lord Jesus, become my Savior. I'm turning to you. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I can't save myself, but I'm trusting you and the finished work of the cross of Calvary, and I need you as my Lord and my Savior. Save me. There's been a time in life when we've turned to Jesus and asked him to forgive us of our sins and become our personal Lord and Savior. You need not to fear this earth. And as a believer, you know what we need to be doing? Lord, I'm ready to go home. I'm ready for you to take me. I'm ready. I need not to fear. We see his dilemma there. But I want us to see another thought. So we look at this. His desire. His desire there. Paul longs for liberty. He has a desire to be free from the bonds of imprisonment. He's ready to go. He's ready to be taken. He's ready for those things because he's been under the bonds. He's been under the imprisonment. He's been in that place there. He's ready to depart. He's ready to go because of what has held him down and what has kept him back. He's ready to have that freedom in Christ. Do you know, there's a lot in this world today that holds us down. Now, are we not supposed to praise God on this earth? Yes, we are. Are we not supposed to worship God today here? There is. But do you know there's some things that get in the way of us truly worshiping God? He had a dilemma, but he had a desire. His desire was to be gone from this world, free from the imprisonment, so he could truly worship God the way he's supposed to worship God. Do you know we're supposed to worship God both in what? Spirit and in truth. But what gets in the way of us worshiping God? Sin gets in the way of us worshiping God. Do you know we can come to church and not worship God both in spirit and truth? We can sing songs and not worship God both in spirit and truth. We can money in the offering plate. Do you know offering is worshiping God? And we can throw money in the offering plate and not worship God. We can do all those things and not truly worship God, both in spirit and truth. And as much as Paul desired to live for God and do those things for God, he knew it was going to be far better once he got to heaven because he could truly worship God the way that he ought to and what God deserves. He is worthy of our worship. He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of this. But we have sin in this world, and that keeps us from truly worshiping God the way we should. Someone asked many times throughout history, and someone asked me just recently this thought, what are we going to do in heaven? What are we going to do in heaven? What's going to be in heaven? What are we going to do? Are we going to do certain activities? Are we going to have to ride horses? No, we're not. Are we going to have... No, there's no camels in heaven. The only thing you could... No, we're not going to get into that. But what are we going to do? Do you know what's interesting? If you study out Scripture, the only thing that we're going to be doing, there could be others. But you know what we're going to be doing? All day long, the whole time, is worshiping our Lord. What a thought. We're going to be worshiping Him. Do you know you're not going to care about anything else? That's what you're going to be focused upon, is God. Now, please don't take this the wrong way. Many people ask, well, are we going to have conversations with people? Are we going to talk to people? Are we going to see people that passed on before us? I believe we will. But I do believe when we're in heaven, those things aren't really going to matter. Because our focus is going to be clearly on Christ and Christ alone. That's what it's going to be about. And that's what Paul desired of. He had a dilemma between the two, but he desired to be with Jesus and truly worship Him. Do you know we are to desire that here on this earth? I know sin gets in the way. I understand that in the perfect situations when we're in heaven. I understand that. But we can still desire to make it all about Christ here on this earth. We can still desire to truly worship God as we should on this earth, and to please Him in all that we do. We can still have that desire that's given. We see His dilemma, we see His desire, but I want you to see Paul's debt. Look at verse 24. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for the furtherance and joy of your faith. Even though he is tired from his labors, he longed to be set free from his prison. He longed to be with his Jesus. Paul realized he had a debt of service to perform. And Paul wanted to go to heaven, but he knew he was needed right here on earth. He knew that God was using him, and God wasn't done with him. God still had a purpose. God still had a plan for him. He knew that even though he desired to be in heaven, even though he wanted that pure worship, even though he wanted that, he knew that God still had a plan for him on this earth. Now, many of you have struggled in your life. You're ready to leave because of all the things that has happened. But you know what? You still have breath. You know what that means? God's not done with you. Do you know God still has a purpose for every one of us in this room? God's not done with you. God's not done with me. Even though you're here and you can't walk like you used to walk, God's not done with you. Even though you're struggling with some health issues, you're struggling with some other things in your life. Maybe you have some personal problems and some things that you're going through and you're struggling with. You may be ready to say, Lord, just get me out of here. Lord, take me home. I want to be with you. But God still has a plan for you. God was not done with Paul. He was still going to be the conduit that God was going to use. And he says, it's more needful, even though I want to go to heaven. Lord, I know you have a purpose for me on this earth. I know I should come alongside and abide and continue with one another for the furtherance of the joy and their faith. He says, Church of Philippi, I understand that I'm still needed to help you. Do you know there are those that need us to come alongside them? Even though you have your personal problems, even though you have your own struggles, even though you'd rather be in heaven, we are to come together for the furtherance of the joy and faith of one another. We're to come together. We're to come together and help one another. We're to come together and encourage one another. He says, verse 27, I won't let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your fears, that ye stand fast in one spirit. Well, you know what Paul's saying? I want you to continue, and as long as I'm here, I'm going to help you continue. As long as I'm here and I have breath, God has a purpose and plan, and the purpose and plan is for me to help encourage the church at Philippi and encourage the church at Philippi that stand fast in one spirit. You know what his desire was? As long as God was going to keep him there, he was going to help unify that church to have the same mind, the same accord, the same spirit, to work together. Do you know what our purpose is? We're on this earth is to get individuals to come together that are saved by the precious blood of the Lamb and to have a unity about us to serve God. That was his desire. That was his debt. He realized this thought there. Look a little further here. Stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. That word striving means working together. That means laboring with intensity. That means just pouring out everything you have about you. For what? For the furtherance of your own will. For the furtherance of your own desires. For the furtherance of what you want to accomplish in life. No, for the furtherance of the gospel. Strive together, work together, so the word of God will continue. His desire was to understand the debt that he owed and understand that he was a debtor both to the Greek and to the Jew. He was a debtor because of the salvation he had in Christ. And because of the salvation he had in Christ, he knew what he needed to accomplish and to do and help that church at Philippi to fulfill its purpose in life. Do you know each of us that make up this room, this building, this church? Do you know what our purpose ought to be? Striving together for the furtherance of the gospel. Striving together, working together. Now, that is hard for us to understand, this concept of striving together, working together. Because We know we're all a little different at times. We know that each of us have our own little quirks and issues, right? How many know that, right? I don't have any, but you all have them. No, just kidding. We all have them, right? We all have our little problems, if you call them. And you pointing at me, Jan? No. We all have those. Or are you pointing to Rick? We all have those. We all have those issues. And it's hard to take individuals that have different thoughts, different ways of handling situations, different ways of coping with things, and somehow figuring it out, somehow working together and accomplishing something. Now, anyone ever take something apart before? Some type of machine, some type of engine, some type of computer, and you take something apart, and how many pieces are in some of those things? There's a lot of pieces. And a lot of times there's big pieces, and there's little teeny, 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 small little pieces that you can't barely see. And sometimes you have to, for us that are blind, you have to use a microscope to be able to see that piece. How many of you took something apart, you put it back together, and you thought it was all good, and then you find one of those teeny little pieces that you forgot to put back in that you could barely see? And how many of you have ever thought, well, it's just such a small piece, it's probably not that important to put back in. We could probably do without it to put that piece back in. And how many of us have tried to go ahead and just try it anyways, and then it didn't work? And you're like, how can this not work because of this little piece? How can that little piece be that important to this big product? How? Do you know? Every one of us has a part. It does not matter how small we are. Well, I can't give the way that someone else in this church gives. Do you know there's a story about the widow's mite? Do you know that there are some that have given a less amount but has given more than someone that has given a bigger amount? Do you know that small piece, even if it's only a dollar, God can still use? Do you know that maybe you may be little and there's some old people, and those old people might know more than you? Do you know, even though you're small, you can still serve God? You can still be used of God just as much as some of the old people? Do you know, it doesn't matter how small we are. If we're saved, we're to be a part and serving and living for God. No matter what our age is, no matter how long we've been saved, or how short we've been saved, it does not matter. Do you know there is a purpose and plan and reason for your life? Do you know, as long as we're still on earth, that we're still supposed to be striving together for the furtherance of the gospel? We're to still be working together. Do you know the purpose of this church, the purpose of churches like this, is to further the gospel and take the gospel to a lost and dying world, to be a lighthouse in this community as we should? And do you know each of us has a part in that? It doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter any of those things. We still have a part in that. And we need to take, and we need to further, we need to strive together. We need to work together. The need was great back then. How much greater is the need today for us to strive together? Back then, the Bible says in the New Testament, what? The fields are white. The harvest is ready. But the laborers are few. You know, God saved us to work. God didn't save us to sit. And we have so many believers in America today that are saved and they sit. I've talked to missionaries and evangelists recently who have ministries in foreign countries. Some are excited because they actually get to go back to some of the foreign countries that they've been in. And you know what they say? They love the foreign country better than America. Because once a person gets saved in a foreign country, do you know what? You can't keep them from doing something. But in America, they get saved and they're going to heaven. But they allow all their baggage to keep them from doing what they're supposed to be doing. Do you know God has saved us to work? God has not saved us to sit in our Sunday seats looking sweet and being neat. God has not saved us to soak in sour. God has saved us to serve. God has saved us to do a work. Every saint of God has a job. Every one of us has a job. Every one of us has a debt that we owe to God. Every one of us needs to understand that we live in a world that is hellbound, and we need to take the gospel to this lost and dying world. Verse 29, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. You know what he's saying? We need to further the gospel. You know what? He had a dilemma. He had a desire. But he had a debt. But he realized we need to further together. And he said this: we may suffer, but it's okay. Because that suffering is just here on this earth. But also to suffer for his sake. Do you know? We should count it all joy to suffer for Jesus. Because it's not really suffering. Did you know that? If it's for Jesus, it's not really suffering. Because we're furthering the gospel, working together, and God will give us all we need to be able to do what he has called us to do. And all the so-called suffering on this earth is for his honor and his glory. And someday, we'll understand what the big picture is all about. We're on this earth, but we need to live with eternity in mind. And realize we strive together, we work together, suffer for his sake. Do whatever you need to do to serve God, live for God, put up with the persecution. We talked about that last week. Put up with that. Deal with all those things. And continue to live for God. Ready for heaven, but not time to depart. So if it's not time to depart, what are we doing? What are we doing? If God still has you here, what are we doing? What am I doing? What are you doing? If God still has us on this earth, what are we doing? What have you done this past year? Past couple years? For the cause of Christ? For the furtherance of the gospel? What are we doing? Oh, we're doing our own agenda. We're doing our own thing. We have our own activities. We have our own things that interest us, our hobbies. But what are we doing for Christ? get to heaven. But why aren't we serving God here? Oh, I'm looking forward to that day. I can't wait to get to heaven. I want to be with my Jesus. But you know what? We can still serve God right now. I can still kneel at his feet right now. I can still get a glimpse of Jesus right now. I can still serve him and live for him because he's not done with me or he would have taken me to glory. What am I doing right now for Jesus? Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your precious word.